How do I say goodbye? John, you know what today is?
Bring your boss to work day.
It's bring your boss to work day, my friend. Mr. Gelsinger, how you doing, sir?
Oh, Mr. Gelsinger, that's my dad. Right, just to let you know. So I'm just Pat.
I love it. I love it. Pat, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to be back on the podcast, and thank you very much.
You, in true Vegas style, went out and got a tattoo. I was impressed by that.
Yeah, I was like, that is a bit cliche, but
you know, I just went down to Badass Tattoo down the street.
Nice.
You know, hey, they took care of me. What can I say?
Hey, it's great to be back on Virtually Speaking. This is fun.
Yo, Mr. X86, yeah. And we're doing an arm port. Let me explain it to you.
They assumed you had. They assumed you also had that tattoo. Also,
yeah. So it's a different body part.
Me and Virtually Speaking, we're pretty important together.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 177. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me for the first time in 2021 is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, man?
I'm feeling relieved. It's going to be my year. I think this year, you know, 2020 was a little interesting, but I think 2021
is the year of Nicholson.
It's going to be my year. Yeah, it's the year of the Nicholson.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, man. You know, I'm excited. You know, first episode back. I know it's been a while. You know, we got pretty busy towards the end of the year with some internal things. And then when we heard the announcement that Pat was heading over to Intel, we thought, you know what, that might be a pretty good way to kick off the year. So here we are, man. And you know what it occurred to me as soon as we started this episode, and it didn't even occur to me before? Is the fact that our intro music has Pat saying, innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise. What are we going to do? Do we have to get a new slogan from the incoming CEO?
You know, or worst case, you know, in the interim from a filler basis, I mean, Zane does have some good jokes, but I don't think he's quite, we'll have to listen to some earnings calls, see if maybe, because that's really the only public commentary from Zane we're going to be able to find. Or we're going to have to go troll Mad Money clips on Kramer for Sanjay to see if maybe he's got some other good hot takes we can use. But if anyone has any suggestions, podcast@vmware.com, we'd love to hear your suggestions of which executive audio hot takes need to be added to the intro music.
Oh, yeah. So. Good point. So, yeah, we had a conversation with Pat today. It was really good. It was short and sweet. And and we're really happy to share that with you. But, man, before we do, I wanted to do a little pre-chat with you, John. What are your thoughts on Pat going over to Intel? What do you think? Good move?
No, I mean, I've seen his comp plan. So, you know, anytime you can make 2.5 times what you already make and then add $100 million to that number, you know, you can't blame people. But more importantly, I mean, this is the guy, x86 exists because of him. And it's, let's be honest, it's in trouble. It's not in, I mean, there's legitimate barbarians at the gates, be that, you know, these ARM or hipsters or, you know, Lisa over at AMD. There's legitimate challengers to the throne. But if anyone can unite the factions, can clean things up, can bring execution and capability and innovation to Intel and polish that, it's the Pat. He is the guy.
I would agree with that. Yeah. He brings a lot of vision, a lot of just authenticity. He's a great guy. And he's also, he's a man of integrity. And he's been great at VMware for the past, 8 years? And obviously we're sad to see him go, but I think it's a smart move.
And the other thing also is, you know, if you're going to lose your CEO, you know, it's sad, but you want them to be going on to bigger, better things, not mm-hmm. being like, hey, you know, I'm leaving here and I'm the new CEO of Chili's. And nothing against Chili's restaurants or the parent restaurant group that technically owns them. But like, if your CEO leaves and you're like, wait for who? Like, and it's like, you know, three steps down the router, it's like, wait, what's going on here? Versus like, as long as people are moving on to bigger and better things, don't get worried is always generally my advice. Anytime you see people leave and come and go.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So John, what was your highlight of, we've had many conversations with Pat, right? I mean, all the way back to 2017 and, you know, we've had several conversations with him at VMworlds and, he's always been really good to the Virtually Speaking podcast, but, any highlights for you?
I'm trying to think of highlights. Honestly, I think the interview we did in Vegas right after he got his tattoo was probably my favorite. Yeah, just because I feel like, you know, previously we'd done some executive softball. I feel like, you know, sometimes you get your someone who's 12 degrees above you on the org chart. You don't feel inclined to ask them quite the punchiest of questions.
Yeah.
But it was nice to be able to sit down and say, why ARM? Why now? And, you know, now in turn, now it's going the other direction. It's, you know, why Intel? But Pat is someone that does not pull punches. He is not scared of any question. And that's something I really appreciated about him. And that interview really showed it. So I'd encourage people to go back. Pete, you can point that out in the show notes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I actually have a small clip from that. It was part of that. It was where he was talking about ARM, but also he shared a really insightful story on a conversation that he had with Steve Jobs. So take a listen.
I know you're a pretty big fan of the x86.
You think?
Why ARM and why now?
So, you know, first let me tell a little story, and I think some of the listeners will like this. When Intel won the Mac to the x86, I remember the meeting that we had with Steve Jobs, and we had, you know, I personally tried to win the Mac business at the 486, at the Pentium, the Pentium Pro, and finally we won it at Centrino.
Wow.
So, you know, it was one of those design wins that you thought you were never going to get. And we go into the meeting and Apple has finally said, hey, the power, the performance, the, you know, committed and they were finally underway. And we go into this meeting with Steve and we come into the meeting and we said one of the things, hey, we are happy, you know, we got all sorts of expertise to help you do the OS porting of Mac OS from the power chip, which it was on, to the x86. And I remember this like yesterday. Steve said, oh, I've been porting that for the last 5 years. And what he had been doing, right, was preparing his option so that if he ever switched architectures,
brilliant,
the OS, which as we well know, and vSphere is an OS, ESX is an operating system.
Of course, yeah.
Right? You know, it takes a while to curate. And you find architectural dependencies that need to be injected into the core architecture. So we have been porting to the ARM chip for the last 4 years.
Yeah. It's been fun reading some of those internal stuff as employees.
As well, because it just takes a while to sort of peel apart the architectural dependencies. They're hidden in places you don't expect.
The ecosystem, the firmware of the associated devices.
So, you know, what you saw demonstrated there, we have a small team, and I'll say they've been they were almost afraid, given my x86 heritage, to let me know that they were looking at this. You can't imagine that, right? Right. Yeah, Mr. x86, and we're doing an ARM port. Let me explain it to you.
They assumed you also had that tattoo also.
So it's a different body part. So, you know, as that's we great. Explored it though, right, and they, you know, I said, absolutely, I want to, just like Steve Jobs, I want to create the optionality should we ever decide there's a market opportunity for ESX and ARM. So, you know, obviously we've been exploring that for a while. I do not believe there's a market opportunity in the data center, but I believe in the edge, where gateways and other devices, you know, it looks sort of like it's a split race right now between x86 and ARM at the edge. So I'm not going to prevent our software from being used in what might be half the market for edge. You know, we also see telco, you know, potential that'll be another market where there'll be a meaningful opportunity for ESX in ARM architectures. So, hey, you know, we're beginning to explore that. As we said, we're starting to engage with OEMs, right, to build that as part of their embedded solution with ESX ARM solutions. So a little bit surprising. And, you know, I was very happy to get that, you know, as part of the keynote.
The Steve Jobs story. Wow. It's interesting to see how these relationships are forged and also kind of what on both sides, good executives, how they think ahead of the problem and they cover the problem before it comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, that was just another example of him having, you know, having vision and also being teachable, right? Like learning from Steve Jobs and taking that through. So pretty cool stuff. Small thing that I thought I always found interesting, and we did, this wasn't on the actual episode, but a small behind the scenes is I think it was 2019 actually. We were in San Francisco and we were in his boardroom and for VMworld, and we were having a conversation. We were actually doing a mic check, and one of the things we've always noticed when we podcast with Pat is that he really does have good mic discipline. Like he will line himself up right to that mic, and so John made a comment about that, and then we learned something interesting about Pat. So take a listen.
All right. Let's do a little sound check here.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
1, 2, 3. Here from Zeven.
We have a running joke. Like we're always talking about, you know, when we record you, we're like, Pat is like the one person that there's no training needed. He gets right to the right spot at the mic. And
we thought
it's
you
money
worked
every
in radio.
Time. Other folks are afraid of it. Like
I actually did work in radio when I was at, you know, going to school when I was 16, 17, 18.
You did?
Okay, WFMZ, Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I was the DJ at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., and 6 a.m., giving the weather and local news updates, right, on an easy listening station on Friday and Saturday nights. That was...
Can I get a sample of an old...
Yeah, this is Pat Gelsinger, WFMZ, Allentown, Bethlehem, Eastern Pennsylvania. And the weather today will be...
I love it.
There
I love
you
it.
Go.
Yeah, so, yeah. Pat, don't quit your day job, but I'm glad to see that you did some good radio work. Great mic discipline. So, yeah, those are just a couple of moments we had with Pat over the years. It's always been great, and I was really, really happy that he agreed to come on, you know, on his last week at VMware and sort of share his thoughts about, you know, leaving VMware, but also about, you know, what's ahead for him at Intel. So we're going to play that now, so take a listen. All right. Well, John, joining us for the last time as VMware CEO, hopefully not the last time ever, but certainly the last time as VMware CEO is Pat Gelsinger. Pat, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. So good to be on the podcast with you all. Many, many good episodes that we've done together in the past. And yeah, this will probably be the last one as VMware CEO, but not the last one. I promise from my Intel CEO chair and my VMware board chair that we'll be joining you again. I promise.
For sure. For sure. So yeah, let's start with that. Everybody knows, but let's make it official. Congratulations on accepting the role as CEO of Intel Corporation. That's a big move.
Well, thank you. And it is. And, you know, I just say, you know, one is, boy, you know, I spent 30 years at the company, right? You know, there's a lot of, you know, attraction to go back home.
Yeah.
I joke, I went through puberty at Intel. I started so young.
Yeah, 18, right? I think you started at 18.
Yeah, 18. Yeah. And so it really is sort of deep in my soul. And I, you know, I'll say I grew up at the feet of Grove, Moore, Noyce, you know, the foundations of the industry that we all live on. So in that sense, going home, you know, I think the, right, the criticality of a healthy Intel for technology, for U.S. technology is so important. And given the opportunity to go lead a great company, you know, I'm not leaving VMware, I'm going to Intel. And, you know, in that sense, there is just so many good things, so many good memories. And continuing in the board, I look forward to continue to just, hey, making sure things are great here at Team VMware and for all of our VMware customers and users.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I heard somebody say that you were approached earlier to come to Intel in the past and then obviously said no. No, but now said yes. I wonder what changed for you in that regard.
Well, you know, some of it was, I'll say, the need, you know, and where they are and some of the, you know, well-publicized stumbles they've had. You know, the other is I had, you know, been engaging with them about joining the board. Mm. Right. So, you know, Michael and the VMware board, hey, you know, about joining the board of Intel. And they're all like, yeah, that'd be good, Pat. And, you know, remember, Intel is Michael's biggest supplier, right? And, you know, Michael is Intel's biggest customer. So there's a lot going on there. So he's like, yeah, Pat, go help him, right? And then that conversation flipped to becoming CEO just before Christmas. So things have happened very rapidly. And, you know, now it really is, you know, okay, you know, the company, you know, stumbled, can we go create, you know, one of the great turnarounds for a great technology company? And yeah, I think I can play a part in that. And the board was entirely united on, you know, calling me to the role, and off we go.
Yeah. Well, heck, Pat, you started VMware back in 2012, and VMware was nowhere compared to where they are now. And I'm not ashamed to say that I think you had a huge part of that. I mean, when you first started, we still had VTACs, and we were a hypervisor company. And man, you know, those days are long gone. But yeah, you've done quite a lot since you've been at VMware.
Yeah, you know, we've almost tripled the size of the company. You know, it was, four-ish billion, and this year will be almost 12. It was 11,000 employees at the time. We're now 34,000, so exactly tripling the company. And we've gone from hypervisor to SDDC, and now to the multi-cloud, you know, modern SaaS company. So we're on a great journey, and it's just been fun. And I, as a I was a rookie CEO when I took the job. So thank you all for putting up with me in that learning process. And we've gotten a lot done. And I also feel good that the company, the incoming CEO, and the search is underway. Had our first meeting on that yesterday of the candidates. So good candidates for a great company. I'm very confident because the plan is clear. It's just to execute the plan that we have in place. And there's great talent. And I'm meeting with many customers as well, reassuring them of that. And my continuing role in the board helps everybody. So we're like, oh, okay, that helps as well. We're going to make sure this is great.
It's good to hear about that there is a strategy on that. When I heard, there was a little bit of news going on the day of the announcement. There were some other announcements going that morning, and it frankly was actually the most shocking news, that which I guess put some context for where we're in of that day of saying, oh, Pat's leaving. And I was, immediately I was like, well, I've got a little worried. But then I was like, the best way to have your CEO leave is they're doing well and they're going somewhere else to where there's a great need and to do well there, versus very much the alternative of your CEO is being drug out, under a cloud of investigation or questionable ethical behavior or just, missteps. So it's, we're sad to see you go, but also optimistic to the future here.
Well, thank you. And that's how I feel. And, company's in great shape, strong leadership team. We're going to do just great going forward. And I have no regrets other than not being able to work as closely with you as I have in the past.
Well, I guess the only regret you'll have is that they asked me to do the exit interview for you, Pat. So I've got a couple of exit interview questions for you, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yes, I'll return the laptop. I promise.
Okay. First, state your name. Pat Gelsinger got that. Okay. Number one, what prompted you to begin searching for another opportunity?
I didn't.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Yes.
I was searched.
Exactly. What did you like best and least about your job?
Well, I loved the opportunity to work with the people of the company and those relationships. And the second would be building a values-based culture.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? One that everybody can say, okay, I'm epic. Right. I know what that means. I know what that means for us as a family. Least favorite portion of my job was always, dealing with all of what I call, I love customers and I love products and engineering. Everything else is what I called crap, corporate responsibilities that I had to do. Right. And, as a result, it was all of that other stuff that wasn't products and customers.
Making sure the word choice is perfectly crisp on that earnings call is what
and making sure it's not just the word choice, John, but the inflection in my voice around the word choice.
So I was listening to an earnings call one time. I was with another colleague and we were driving to go to his to the beach on a, and it was after hours. And we're listening to the call and we're going over the tone. And we're just discussing, is there a special school you go for to be trained? Are there voice coaches or there psychologists who train you guys on that? It's
Yeah, they certainly do have speaking coaches and you go through. Mm-hmm. So so sadly, John, there is some truth to your comment.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Do you think your job has changed since you were hired? I'd say probably.
Dramatically, right? Yeah, I'm not qualified for the job I was hired for, and I'm certainly not qualified for the job I have today.
Okay, two more for you. What suggestion do you have for the company? How could we improve?
Well, you know, the pathway that we laid out on the cloud journey, the container journey, and the SaaS journey, get them done. Mm-hmm. Get them done faster. Right? Just lean into getting to the other side of that. And if those happen faster, every aspect of the company is better.
Nice. And the last question on the exit interview is, would you recommend this company to a friend?
Absolutely. Unequivocally. In fact, I'm recommending all of my friends, right, to come in. I'm having new grandchildren, so I can make sure that we're bringing the next generation into the fold as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for indulging the exit interview, Pat. You know, I saw those and I thought, well, they were basically around some of the questions I had for you. So I appreciate that. But in all seriousness, I know it's a big move. I know you've got a lot of things to do at Intel. I mean, it's great to accept a position, and I'm sure there's a honeymoon phase, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hard work for you. What are some of the thoughts around Intel in general? Like, are there any goals that you have in mind that you're able to share early, this early?
Yeah, and as I communicated, I joined the earnings call for Intel last week. And I said, I have four priorities coming into the company. You know, one is we have to have leadership products in every category. And obviously some of the, you know, ARM, AMD, M1 from Apple things have emerged. You know, hey, you know, we just have to have leadership products. Second, we have to execute. Our customers have to believe, you know, when we say we're going to deliver 1 million units, right, you know, by a day so they can build their business plans, we got to do it, right? We have to be that execution machine that Intel was known for, and it stumbled. And, you know, we have to continue to have, you know, leading innovation, right? You know, this is an innovation company for the future, so that, you know, that pathway to long-term technology leadership. And then fourth is the culture. And I do think the culture is what Wayward and I just call it, the maniac Grovian, right? You know, view of discipline and of execution and data. And, you know, that confidence that, you know, causes fear in the hearts of our competitors, confidence in the minds of our customers, and a bit of mojo on the part of our employees.
Well said, well said. Well, I've seen you do similar things at VMware over the years, and I think I speak on behalf of many when I say that we have truly appreciated your leadership at VMware, and we wish you nothing but the best at Intel, and we hope that you don't be a stranger.
Well, thank you so much. I'm not going to be a stranger. You know, being the CEO of, you know, the 34,000 employees, the hundreds of thousands of users and customers that we have, and you know, as I think back on the 8 years that we've had together, you know, the greatest honor of my career. And to all of those listening to this now, I just say thank you, right? It really has been a joy, a pleasure, honor, and fun on the way. So thank you all.
All right. Yeah. So there it is, Pat in 2021, leaving VMware, heading over to Intel to do great things. Super exciting.
Yeah, no, it was great to hear, you know, the inspirations on that, and also to confirm my theory about him and Zane on earnings calls. You know, it's good to know that it wasn't just robots pretending to be them, that they really have been training for that. So
I can't believe you had the nerve to tell him that you were happy to see that you had a CEO leaving not under unethical, you know, circumstances.
Well, for backstory there, if we go back, I mean, if you go back two CEOs at Intel, there were some allegations of insider trading around some shares, non-scheduled being sold ahead of that. And there's also some other stuff that's kind of, well, go read it yourself.
Yeah.
So,
I think they're in good hands with Mr. Gelsinger, that's for sure. I shouldn't say Mr. Gelsinger, because every time I do, he always tells me, call me Pat.
No, but Pat made a comment, and you noticed in the interview, he made that comment about one of the things he planned to bring was a culture of ethics, and that he felt that had lapsed. And so I, again, Pat doesn't pull punches. You know, he's not just saying, oh, it's rosy, it's gonna be great, I'm gonna go high five some old friends. He's got work to do, was the message I really took from that interview.
Oh yeah. And like he said, you know, you heard it here. He'll be back. He'll be back as the CEO of Intel on the Virtually Speaking podcast. So that was good to hear as well. All right, John, let's wrap it up, my friend. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Pat Gelsinger for joining us one last time as CEO. We're back next time, but until then, bye for now.
Me and Virtually Speaking, we're pretty important together.
Enough of this jibber jabber.